Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. It's a huge win today for law enforcement in Colorado and anyone who likes being watched. A bipartisan bill to restrict the use of surveillance cameras that track cars has now died at the state capitol. The bill would have required officers to get a warrant to access license plate reading databases if more than 72 hours had gone by since the crime. Supporters said it was about protecting Coloradans' privacy. Opponents, mostly law enforcement, said modern investigations need modern technology. The main sponsor, Democratic State Senator Judy Amabile from Boulder, said she pulled the bill because it did not have enough Democratic votes to get out of the Senate. She say Republicans alone don't have enough votes to stop anything at the Capitol. Also, Democratic Governor Jared Polis has signaled he would veto that bill if it passed. Amabile says she plans to bring it back next year when Polis will be out of office due to term limits.
We will spend more time sharing what the bill does, what it doesn't do. It will be more clear when we introduce it because we learned a lot about where the misunderstandings came from. So the bill that we introduce next year will have a lot more clarity right out of the gate.
And in the meantime, Amabile is encouraging local governments to pass their own restrictions on those license plate surveillance cameras. Sundance Film Festival coming to Boulder will stimulate the economy, as they like to say on the TV news. Well, you know who's really getting stimulated? Homeowners asking $100,000 to rent out their fancy places. Our Evan Krugel explains the ripple effect in the community.
It is an amazing place, you know, right up in the foothills. And so it is a highly sought after place to live.
Boulder is well known for its beauty, culture, and location. But come January, it'll be known for something else as the new home of the Sundance Film Festival.
People are looking today for places to stay in January, so we want to help people figure out how to do that well.
Caleb Dickinson owns Fox Property Management, which helps rent out homes like this one. He says demand for short-term rentals in January is through the roof.
And the big question is, how much can I rent it for? Is it worth it? How much can I make? How many days? And so I don't blame people for putting their place up for a lot of money, but I think it's distorting reality.
Take this four-bedroom house, for example, listed at other points in the year for around $1,000 a night. For Sundance, they're looking for 10 times that, a $106K total for the 10-night festival.
I think it's okay for people to try to figure out, you know, what is my home worth and how much can I get? That's really exciting. But I think there's also, we want to be careful that we're not being greedy, that we aren't, you know, extracting every penny we could possibly extract out of something.
He believes 2 to 3 times a normal rent is a fair place to land, ensuring people don't get priced out of an already pricey town.
This is going to keep happening, and we want to make sure that's true by being good hosts and making the lodging work for people. Because if the lodging doesn't work here, this event won't stay.
Now, Boulder has loosened rental restrictions to allow more short-term rentals during Sundance, but supply is limited. Kyle, I pulled this random hotel from a downtown Boulder hotel for that month. You can see the rental prices in the 130s, 140s most of the year. Boom, all of a sudden on the 21st there, close to $1,000 and then over $1,000 through the rest of the festival. So this is something we're seeing not just in home rentals, but in hotels as well. Simple supply and demand, and this will certainly be something interesting to watch as that festival gets closer.
I mean, those are almost 10x prices. Yeah. I mean, that's wild. If the money is out there, obviously, supply and demand, right, that is going to incentivize a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't think about renting out their house to get into that market.
Right, and that's what Caleb said. He said this is kind of like a make-me-move mentality where people who don't necessarily need to vacate their homes, people who live there all year and don't normally rent, are considering renting during the festival, and they're posting these crazy prices to see if they can get it.
You know where else is lovely? Niwot, Gun Barrel, Superior. Also lovely. I encourage the fancy people to check those places out as well.
I've told my mom she may want to consider this.
There you go. All right, Evan Krugel, thank you. Another day, another legal loss for Tina Peters. The former Mesa County clerk, now in the clink for her scheme to breach the security of Colorado's voting systems, was denied a chance to get out on bond. Decision came from District Judge Matthew Barrett, same guy who lit her up for her election lies as he sentenced her to 9 years. The same judge ordered by an appeals court to re-sentence Peters with no regard to her speech. The higher court said it was inappropriately referenced by the judge at her sentencing. The judge wrote in this latest ruling that considering Peters' incentive to flee, combined with her quote-unquote deceitful conduct, her access to private jets, and her history of noncompliance with court conditions, he considers her to be a real flight risk. The Sheridan school teacher strike is over, and with it, so is the threat by Democrats at the state capitol to merge that tiny school district with a bigger one. Last night, Sheridan's school board unanimously voted to ratify the new contract with the teachers union after a 3-week strike. During that walkout, State Senator Jeff Bridges, who represents the area, drafted a bill that would have merged Sheridan into a larger district, likely Denver Public Schools. Well, now that bill will no longer be introduced this session. In a statement, Bridges said, quote, "What's important is that the kids have their teachers back." So, you know, it's been a while since we talked about this here, but more of us need to zip it. For years on this program, we have encouraged Coloradans to zipper merge. We managed to get it into the state's driver handbook, and now CDOT is changing the way that it warns drivers that a lane is ending. Our Marshall Zellinger has an affinity for all things Z-related, so this has been a personal crusade of his. Marshall's out at York and Colfax. Well, Marshall, two lanes become one, and the signs tell drivers exactly how to do it.
Stay in lane to merge point. The signs are more specific than they ever have been compared to, you know, the orange sign that you're used to that's kind of hiding, it's camera shy, the orange sign with the two lines that try to tell you that the lanes are going down to one. The new language is ending up on street signs all around town, and it's about to become a permanent change on Colorado roads.
This guy's even pretty timid. He feels bad right now. You can tell this guy feels bad because he's doing it correctly.
Luis Lazo is not a traffic engineer. He's just a zipper merger who knows how to handle lane closures.
They really just need to keep going, like it says, you know, stay in lane to merge point.
Luis was so impressed with the signage at York and Colfax, where Denver has a lane closure for the bus rapid transit project, that he shared it on social media.
Shout out to Denver for telling people how to correctly zipper merge.
Telling people how and people actually doing it are not the same.
The problem is people think that they need to get over earlier and then it backs the traffic up multiple blocks.
Last year, the Colorado Department of Motor Vehicles added zipper merge to the Colorado Driver Handbook that you study before a driver's test. This year, it's CDOT's turn.
Zipper merge. You've heard of it before.
CDOT has a new zipper merge campaign that uses our original reporting. This is not how you zipper. Cars trying to get over too soon.
We want people to zipper. We want to use that capacity because you will impact those other intersections upstream of those work zones.
CDOT is using new wording on signs in construction zones and even after work is done.
Across the state, motorists will start seeing three new signs that signify a zipper merge.
At Highway 7 and 75th Street in Boulder County, a yellow sign permanently exists saying, merge here, take turns. Take turns is even painted on the road.
We see it working in the work zone, so we wanted to implement on our roadways permanently.
This Lexus doesn't want to let the Honda in. This is entertaining, though.
In an hour at York and Colfax, there was plenty of evidence of drivers not understanding the signs.
Yeah, and see, everybody's getting over soon, so it's like, you know, you could go all the way up if you wanted.
But there was an occasional successful zipper.
It works really well if, you know, if everybody does it, it works really well.
This may be it, Kyle. Our work may be done. Four cars are waiting still to the correct point to zipper in here on Josephine approaching Colfax there. Although all these cars already moved over are ruining this perfect zipper moment for us. But this is as good as I've seen in two times being out here today.
I mean, what do you think, man? I mean, we've been doing the show for a long time. I mean, now that you've got zipper merge done, should we just fold it up? Are we done with next, or you want to find some other personal obsession?
I'll find another Z word that we can hone in on.
I can't wait to figure out what you come up with. Marshall Zellinger, changing lives in Colorado. Thank you, sir. Let's do some good in our state, shall we? Your weekly microgivings raised $18 million in 6 years, and this week, we are going to help double the impact of a program that takes Coloradans from homelessness to being housed, working, and healthy. That is the name and the mission of a nonprofit in Denver. Housed, Working, and Healthy has 10 times as much demand for its program than it has slots available to help people transform their lives through stable housing, culinary workforce training, and assistance getting sober and mentally strong. The nonprofit's moving into a new facility in the Swansea neighborhood where there are 1,000 shelter beds within a 4-mile radius. And anybody who is looking for a path to stability and success in their lives, well, Housed, Working, and Healthy can help them get there. Their program stacks up benefits for the participants and for our broader community. Because think about it, right? People get into steady work and they get clean. They have dignity, purpose, structure, connection. Then their wages lead to more spending in the community, and at the same time, they're taking less in social benefits. Together, we can help supercharge that ripple effect that changes lives. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll send you that link to donate. You know the deal. Even $5 helps because a ton of people are going to do it together. And you know I'll never ask you to give to a cause that I don't support myself, so I'll match the first 50 donations of $5 to get us rolling, as always. And 7,500 of you have signed up to make a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. Takes a lot of the guessing out of this giving because you put your info in once. Each month, your donations automatically split among all the nonprofits we feature. And in this month, where we're doing 5 weekly campaigns, each one will start with almost $40,000. A developer tries to calm the community after talk about leveling Denver's Asia Center, a spot beloved by the Vietnamese community.
Oh my gosh, she's got a personality like nobody's business.
A loose pig is not news. A community scrambling to save an animal's life no matter what it took? Well, that is next. The developer with plans for Denver's Asia Center strip mall is doing some damage control after a rendering of that potential housing project on the site drew deep concern from Denver's Vietnamese community. The Asia Center sits near Federal and Mississippi in Denver's Little Saigon area. Last week, a group called Asia Center Development LLC filed plans with the city to demolish the strip mall and replace it with a 4-story mixed-use building with affordable housing. That rendering circulated on social media, and it really alarmed business owners and their faithful customers. At a news conference today, the developer group, the city of Denver, and the president of the Vietnamese American community said the plan is not happening anytime soon, and they still want input from businesses in the community.
It was never the intent for us to hide anything. And we wanted to say, hey, as part of the planning process, what does this even look like? Is this even possible? So we're at the preliminary stage. The intent was always, hey, we're going to sit down with each and every tenant and saying, what does this look like? There's no decision that has been made.
So while developers there are saying this is still in the early stages, we do know that some of the plans filed with the city are dated June 2025, so almost a year ago. This thing's been rolling for a while. Today, they emphasize that the more immediate threat to the businesses in that strip mall is the bus rapid construction that's expected to begin on Federal next year. You've seen how it's impacted businesses on Colfax. So that's what businesses would first have to weather before they say any construction on the strip mall would happen years from now. Nine News meteorologist Chris Bianchi is along. And Chris, you tell me that Denver has experienced 3/100ths of an inch of rain today. That is barely enough to wet a whistle, as they say, and there are a lot of dry whistles around town.
Not one, not two, but 3/100ths of an inch, Kyle. That, we are thrilled about it. On a serious note, hey, you know what? This is kind of bonus rain, right? Today generally had the drier look to it, so we'll take whatever rain we can get here. The main event's not really till tomorrow. We got more rain on the way. Seeing some showers, Eastern Plains, a little bit of rain for us here across the metro area. May add another 1 or 2 one-hundredths of an inch of rain. Some parts of South Metro, though, did pick up over a quarter inch of rain with some downpours out by Parker earlier on. That steadier rain will fill in tonight and to early tomorrow. Cold front arrives tonight. That'll mean rain and snow above 6,000 feet. That'll dissipate tomorrow night, early Friday morning. Rainfall amounts will dissipate from north to from south to north. From I-70 on south, half inch or more rain. This will be our wettest day in over 7 months coming up for tomorrow. We're thrilled about that. And Denver may end as a little slush, but it's above 6,000 feet where we get the possibility for a few inches of slushy snow across the metro area. 7-day forecast, To me, it's pretty ideal. We dry out this weekend, and then early next week, showers return. And by the way, middle of next week could be dealing with yet another soaking rain. I don't have to tell you we need the rain. We'll be hopefully getting more than 3/100 of an inch here in Denver.
So you certainly would not think that a 700-pound fugitive would get far, but in fact it did, until a woman with patience and kindness stepped in to bring it home safely. Hey, a reminder, you can catch Next streaming each night, 6 p.m. on 9 News Plus. Free to watch there. And Next is now a podcast if you want to listen and only get half the jokes. A favorite phrase around the Next office is happier than a pig in excrement. And then our Mike Grady strolled in with the story of a pig that found itself in deep excrement and the woman who stepped in to save it.
There's no shortage of swine.
We have 15 right now.
That call this place home.
Pigs. We have 3 big ones, and then the rest are all pot bellies. I figured today we'll pass out popcorn to all the piggies.
Roscoe's Rescue in Hudson exists thanks to Chris Wynn.
She got buck teeth. Did you know that?
You guys are so cute. It's not funny.
Cammy Ritchie is used to popping by.
I am.
When the Adams County Animal Management Officer got a call about a havoc-wreaking hog in Brighton last year, she picked up the phone.
I called Chris knowing that she dealt with your pigs.
I got a phone call from Cammy on animal control. We got this big pig. How do we load her?
We were expecting a pig. So we were not expecting the Jurassic Park pig that ran across the road in front of us. Chris was pushing her butt, and Chris is telling her, we're trying to save your life, trying to push her onto the trailer.
We're saving your life.
No one was quite sure where the scrappy sow came from, but they all knew where she'd wind up.
We did take her to Riverdale Animal Shelter on a 5-day stray hold to see if somebody was gonna come looking for her, but I knew Chris, and I knew Chris was gonna want her if no one claimed her.
I love you. Mama girl. The day that I built that trust with her, I was gonna fight tooth and nail to make sure she came here.
Naming the big girl was easy.
Cammy's about 700-800 pounds and she's not done growing.
She named this pig after me and I love it. I think it's great to have a big old pig named after me. It's great.
Cammy gave this pig a name.
Happy as a pig in you know what.
Chris gave her a home.
She's just living her best life.
She is in the best position that she will ever be, and she's got the best home ever.
I love you.
For Next, I'm Mike Grady.
I love you.
It's a happy pig. Story from the master of alliteration, our Mike Grady. Back with your feedback on Zipper Merging. Next. The nonprofit Housed, Working, and Healthy is all about getting folks living on the streets or in shelters into that stable, successful phase of life. And they're growing fast, from 100 graduates a year to 200. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to join me and a bunch of other people in supporting their work. They know that people who have steady work, a safe place to live, and good health have the best chance to turn their lives around. You know, it's pull yourself up by the bootstraps, but first making sure that everybody has a pair of boots. They do good work in our community. I ask you to join me in supporting them. Feedback now from Ross in Loveland, who writes in with some Z-themed ideas for Marshall for his next conquest after he made sure that that folks are going to zipper merge in our state. Ross writes, zucchini. Friends don't give their friends excess. Well, I don't know about that. I like getting excess zucchini. I make bread out of it. My kids eat it. This is a little offbeat. Zoodoo, turbocharge your garden with elephant poop. Zip lines, reduce your vacation travel costs. That's all you got, Ross? Only those three ideas? What other Z ideas do we have out there for Marshall? He needs a new quest. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.